New York State appears to be slowing its effort to finalize rules and regulations around hydrofracking after the Department of Environmental Conservation said that agency officials expect to begin a new rulemaking process rather than try to meet a November deadline to finalize regulations. Now, to better understand what this means, or to correct me if I just said anything wrong, we are joined by Roger Downs, who's the legislative director of the Sierra Club Atlantic chapter. Roger, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, great. We can hear you well.
Terrific.
Well, we need you, Roger, because I'm a little bit confused. I keep reading these sentences that say things like, it appears that, or the DEC expects that, or they might, or they may be delaying final regulations around fracking. There's a health assessment. I'm totally confused about what was actually just announced.
Well, that's exactly what you should be feeling, because there is so little information out there right now. I think all of us are a bit confused. We certainly know what some of this could mean, and we can go through the implications, but it is very confusing now, and there's been very little information put forward.
So what do we know?
Well,
or before we get to implications,
So what we know is that the commissioner and Governor Cuomo made two decisions. Last week, they publicly, through press release, rejected doing what many in the medical community and environmental community have been calling for, which was a health impact assessment, which is a very formal process to look at the health impacts of fracking, and a very independent public process. Instead, they announced that they will be doing an internal review using the Department of Health to look at the health impacts of fracking, and that would be in conjunction with the environmental study they're doing right now in fracking, which would delay things to some extent. And then a bunch of us were asking about what does this mean in terms of the timing, and the administration had been peppered all week about deadlines. The regulatory review process, which is separate from the environmental review process,
uh-huh.
And stop me when your eyes start rolling, but there is a regulatory process. That expires November 29th. And we were thinking, how are they going to get all this done by November 29th? And if they miss the deadline, then they have to go essentially through another round of public comment. They have to reissue the regulations and start that review process. So there's two review processes. There's the environmental review, and then there is the regulatory review.
And this, the health impact assessment, or the internal review that they're choosing to do with the Department of Health, that's part of the regulatory process?
It's unclear, but it would probably be more about the environmental review.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I think to cut off all the questioning, they just made the announcement that they weren't going to try to force and finalize everything by November 29th and move forward. Clearly, this would kick the health study would kick everything into 2013, and that they would commence an entirely new regulatory review, which I think is hopeful in some ways. It means that there will be more public comments. They have to have another public comment period, and that it'll provide more time for public input and transparency. But there's still some questions there, and we still have no idea what this health review is going to look like. And I think, part of the confusing thing is the commingling of two very different proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what you do is you do the environmental review for something, you finish the environmental review, you have all the findings, and then after that's done, then you begin the regulatory review. What they did last year was they put out a second draft of the SGEIS, or the Environmental Review for High Volume Fracking, at the same time that they put out the review for the regulations, which are sort of the laws that will be governing fracking. And that's pretty unorthodox, and it was very confusing.
And who is they in that sentence?
The Department of Environmental Conservation.
Both of those. They put out both of those.
At the same time. So when you showed up to the public hearing and were given 2 minutes to provide your comment, you actually had to provide a comment for two very different proceedings and two very different laws. And I think some of us were questioning the legality of that.
Mm.
And moreover, last year, Joe Martin said that they would not issue new permits for drilling until the environmental review was done. but that they didn't necessarily have to wait for the regulations to be done. So it caused a lot of us to you know, chant the slogan, no rigs before regs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the bottom line here is that we may be guaranteed more public hearings, but we may be giving our testimony at the same time that they're drilling in New York when we're talking about drilling's dangers. So they may press ahead, even though there may be a new regulatory review process.
Wow. So I'm a little bit confused still by saying that we, like, what does a regulatory process actually consist of? By saying that I understand what you're saying, that they can actually start drilling before that's done, is what they've implied or what they've said. But if we're restarting that process, what is next?
So what would be next is that they would put out a new draft of the regulations, and so we would see on paper all these new rules for drilling, and they would have a regulatory impact statement where they would look at what the costs would be on communities of these regulations, and then there would be some discussion over how they came to decide upon those regulations. And the public would look them over and say, this is going to be effective or this is not going to be effective. Then they take all those comments into consideration and they put out final regulations, and that sort of becomes the law of the land. If I may,
mm-hmm.
In 1992, we had a similar situation in that for the 8 years they studied all oil and gas development in New York, and they finalized an environmental review, made recommendations for regulations, and then the process we're talking about now was supposed to happen, but it never happened. And so for the past 20 years, they've been regulating the oil and gas industry based on sort of loose permitting suggestions mm-hmm. from an environmental review. I mean, it's not the way it was meant to be designed. And so they've made a commitment this time around to do this. But I think that they have a strong argument, and they may use in court, that, hey, we've been doing this for the past 20 years.
Right.
We don't think there have been problems. Why can't we do this again? They may take their time getting these new rules on the books. And the rules matter, because if we go forward and we want to sue on some drilling violation, if we want to try to enforce what we think is right, unless we have regulations, the courts are going to really defer to the expertise of the DEC,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have little recourse.
I have what might be kind of a silly question, but when we talk about, like, the rules and regulations that need to be drafted and then improved, what are some examples of those rules and regulations? What kinds of things?
Well, in terms of what's being proposed for drilling.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I will say from the onset, just not to upset anyone, I mean, I believe at this point that it can't be done properly. I will participate in the rulemaking process. I just think it's a dumb idea to move forward with this. So when I talk about improving the regs, I'm not advocating that we can have safe drilling in New York. So with that said, setbacks. In the current proposal, they don't really improve upon setbacks. So the draft regs we saw last year, we didn't see many new setbacks, except instead of 100 feet from a drinking water well, it's 500 feet. So maybe someone in the public would want to come forward and say 500 feet isn't enough, we need 1,500. The rules are pretty ironclad that way.
Mm-hmm.
So setbacks would be one thing. Perhaps how a driller is supposed to dispose of their waste, how they're supposed to track it. Right now, the proposal is that the driller has to write down where they're going to bring the waste. I think a better idea would be that they would have to go on an online, easily accessible database so the public knows where all the waste is going, rather than just the driller self-monitoring. And there are a lot of self-monitoring proposals in the regulations that we find will be difficult to enforce after the fact. So there are huge issues involving waste. And the environmental impact statement covers a lot of ground, but not all that ground that they cover ends up in the regulation.
Mm-hmm.
They have perhaps some aggressive new findings and requirements for the protection of wildlife, the protection of habitat, how much land they can cut up with their pipelines and well pads. But to date, none of that is made it in the draft regulations. So again, that's sort of permitting conditions, and we feel that that would be very flexible for a driller to get around.
Gotcha.
Is that helpful?
It is. And also helpful just based on your how you started that the rules and regulations are within a framework of like safe drilling and that concept. Could you tell me more about the health impact review processes, about what they rejected and what they are choosing, what the Department of Environmental Conservation is choosing to do instead?
Sure. So the health impact assessment, we call it an HIA, it was requested by the environmental and medical community, and I think it represents a very different approach to determining fracking's impacts than what the governor proposed. So an HIA means it's a way of assessing health impact policies, plans, projects using quantitative, qualitative, and participatory techniques facilitated by independent health experts. So it's a really broad-based way of looking at how to get around a persistent health problem issue, and it would involve not only medical professionals, but it also involve the actual drillers, workers' unions talking about safety issues. It would involve county public health departments, schools, everyone that interfaces with drilling, and how do you get around the health exposure problems. What the governor's proposing is, it seems to be nothing more than an internal review of the near final regulations. And having the doctors on staff say, is this enough? Maybe it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's enough. And it doesn't have that kind of broad-based approach to looking at the whole problem. And for the past 4 years, and especially in the last year, the DEC has maintained that what they're proposing, the new regulations, will essentially be a de facto health impact analysis, because they claim they've anticipated every public health problem there could be. They've anticipated every exposure pathway, and they've substantively eliminated it. And so even though their documents reveal no real discussion of medical issues, they say they don't need to because they don't anticipate any problems. Huh. And on top of that, they will then employ a surveillance system by which, a community that then does take on drilling where there are new drill rigs and pads, they will do a surveillance of that area, and if they see problems, then they will flag it. So it's kind of study drilling as it goes along to be sure that their assertions are correct.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any confidence in that, and that doesn't necessarily feel complete as a comprehensive study that was really structured to look at public health issues. So I think that's kind of the nature of the two studies. One's very transparent and public-based. The other one is very much behind closed doors, looking at the work that's been done to date by non-medical professionals.
So a few days ago before this came out, or I think that announcement happened last week, mm-hmm. about the health impact assessment, but a few weeks ago, was everybody under the impression that the November 29th deadline was still what they were going for, and that they were also going to be, they were not going to be rejecting this more public health impact assessment process?
I think all along we felt that they were always going to reject the public health impact process, and we were quite confident that they were going to release everything, the final regs and the final environmental impact statement in the beginning of the summer. And I just think that really what happened was that the public just came alive. And, we know that there were a few release dates that came and went because there were bad stories or there was a huge rally here. Cuomo was dogged throughout the summer at the state fair, at summits that he held. And I think that he felt, an amazing amount of pressure, and that there are thousands and thousands of citizens that are really willing to spend more time being vocal about this. And I think by the time, that the summer ended, they were up against the election season. and they needed an excuse to kick this beyond the election season, because I think this would be very awkward right now.
Mm-hmm.
For Cuomo to release controversial fracking regulations when there are a lot of Democratic senators and Congress members that are running on an anti-fracking platform, it would sort of turn the election season into an anti-Cuomo ad, which is uncomfortable for everyone.
Right.
So we kind of saw this newfound commitment to public health more as you know, an expedient vehicle to get the issue past the elections. And so we thought maybe they could squeeze it in between Election Day and the 29th. But, you know, another thing, and Cuomo was quoted yesterday as saying that, and you know, in a way to sort of console the drillers, that you know, this was a necessary step to insulate the final decision from lawsuits, folks like me, that may be suing on various details, that if they really, you know, at least make a half attempt at covering this issue, they, in the end, may be the shorter path to drilling than if they decided to proceed forward now and then have the lawsuits mount for years and years. That the courts tend to defer to the expert of the expertise of the permitting agency, and so even if they do, you know, a half effort, the courts look upon that favorably. So I think, you know, and they weren't quiet about it. In the press release, Joe Martin says, this is as much about public health as it is about insulating us from lawsuits.
I see.
So,
but for people who are anti-fracking in New York State, this is also making the process last longer and opening at least formal windows for more public comment.
Right. Exactly. Now, you know, again, we don't know. They may have public comment while they're issuing permits, and that we still have to determine. But I think that there is at least good reason to be pleased with this decision. It shows that public pressure works, and that, you know, the public will at least have another chance to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
But it's no time to sort of slack off. I think we need to continue pressure on the administration to do the right thing here.
Well, Roger, I can't thank you enough for helping clarify this for me. Is there anything else you think that we didn't cover that listeners like me would want to hear?
Well, you know, I mean, I also covered a lot of uncertainty on my own part, and I think on the part of the environmental community. So I encourage your listeners to you know, call themselves, call the DEC, call Cuomo, and ask for more clarity. You know, I think we deserve it, and you know, there still is so much that's unknown about what they're going to do for public health and what they're going to do for the regulations.
Well, thank you so much. For people just tuning in, this was Roger Downs, the legislative director of the Sierra Club Atlantic chapter. Roger, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure, Sarah.
Talk to you soon.